Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, health enthusiasts. You are listening to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike, and I am Michael Wolfeld. I'm a naturopath with Purium Health Products. And, of course, I like to say that Purium are products that are designed for superhumans, superfoods for superhumans. That's my line that I like. And I think we're going to have a good talk tonight. I think you're going to enjoy the information I have to share. And it's actually been motivated by a couple of, callers and emails that have come in about the idea of, how do we really go about utilizing doctors? Now, I'd like to start off by at least giving you a little introduction to what types of healthcare practitioners are available to you. Now, I am what is called a traditional naturopath. Now, in case you're not really familiar with all the different terminologies, a traditional naturopath is the oldest type of medical professional on the planet. It dates way back to over 5,000 years ago in India, in China. Certainly Hippocrates in Greece about 2,500 years ago really promoted the concept of naturopathic health. And traditional naturopathic health simply works on the basis of a couple major concepts. Number one, the body is self-healing. That's number one. Number two, Hippocrates stated that food should be your medicine and medicine should be your food. So in other words, if we are eating a proper diet that has been promoted and brought from Mother Nature's storehouse, we're probably doing about as good as we can do. Hippocrates also stated that in all medical conditions, do no harm. And that is, I think, very, very, very important. Now, of course, in the medical model today, I went to medical school originally because, I really had a desire to be of service, and I thought that was a good way to go about it. But what I discovered, and this was back in the mid-70s, that even then, the pharmaceutical industry had such a powerful influence that we weren't really, the curriculum wasn't designed around really health as much as it was designed around treating disease, symptom management, and drugs were a huge, huge part of that. And so that's why I really didn't go forward with that, because that did not suit my inclination, because before that I had already gotten into trying to eat better and, natural health and natural law and things like that. Now, one of the difficulties that we have today with naturopathic doctors is we're not recognized by any of the so-called professional organizations. You will not find a list anywhere other than if you go to the college itself. You can go to Trinity College, where I attended, or Clayton, which is down in Alabama. And, of course, they can do referrals for people. But if you're looking for a data bank that would be national, you're not going to find anything. And the reason is simple. Up until not recently, but a number of years ago, Bastyr National Naturopathic College and Southwest Naturopathic College, they're the big three. Now, Southwest really is the newest one on the block, and they really attempted to follow the Hippocratic philosophy that the body's self-healing and do no harm, that kind of thing. And in fact, I did a couple trainings at that school in the past, because they promoted different kinds of products, and so I was invited to do a talk. But unfortunately, they've gone the way of the other two big naturopathic colleges, and you might say, well, what is that? Well, it's called follow the money. And there's no doubt that running a university is expensive. It costs a lot of money to do this kind of thing. And so what they all end up doing, which is really not in, for the service of us as, you know, patients, customers, is they start receiving grants to do research. And primarily the dollars for research come from the pharmaceutical industry. Now, it may not surprise you to note that once the pharmaceutical industry has their influence and has their money invested in these schools, those pharmaceutical companies then have a lot to say about how those schools operate. And so basically, when you look at the curriculum of Bastyr and National University and also Southwest now, what you're going to find is you're going to find a more natural approach, but they're still talking symptom management, and they're talking much more about the use of even drugs sometimes than diet and other types of less invasive and less negative side effects. Of course, that's the biggest problem with the drug industry is, you know, Eli Lilly, who started the Lilly Company over 100 years ago, he actually was quoted saying that any drug that we could produce is going to have negative side effects. And that is still true today. And I always tell people, before you take any drug, always read the fine print. And read for yourself, because the doctors often will not tell you what that those side effects are. And so it's up to us to make those kind of, you know, investigations because it's our body. And like I've said before, and I'm going to say over and over again, anytime you go to a doctor, don't think of yourself as a patient. Think of yourself as a customer and realize that it is your body, not the doctor's body, that he or she is talking about doing something to. So ultimately, it is your decision to decide what treatment or testing gets done. Don't let anyone talk you into anything, and don't allow fear to be the motivation for making a decision. In fact, if you go to a doctor and you start feeling yourself fearful or anxious, the best approach is to get the information and then say, I will get back to you when I'm able to make a decision. And oftentimes, doctors will still want to put even more pressure, saying, oh, no, you need to decide now. And you just simply reinforce the same statement, say, I don't make decisions like this. I will be glad to get back to you as soon as I do a little bit more research and decide. And that way, if you are feeling anxious, you are feeling fear, you're taking yourself out of the hot seat. And that's the most important thing to do. So that's traditional naturopaths, okay? And like I said, you know, we are a rare breed today because we, you know, the money is not big. And the money is in drugs. That's where health care is. I shouldn't say health care. It's sickness care, as someone once put it. The so-called universal Obamacare is not about health. It's about managing sickness, managing disease, and primarily with drugs, okay? So we got to keep the language clear so we know what we're talking about. Now, after we have traditional naturopath, then we have what's called alternative naturopathic medicine. And that really is what you're going to find if you go to someone who has graduated from Bastyr or National or Southwest. And I have a good friend that graduated from Bastyr many years ago. And he's a good guy. I mean, he's a friend of ours. We actually know him from church. And his entire practice is really revolves around doing hormone therapy. And even when we go out somewhere together, you know, I watch what he eats. And, you know, he doesn't follow even close to being, you know, I mean, he tries, but, I mean, he eats lots of sugar. He eats lots of white flour and stuff like this. So in other words, the training's not there, and that's what he's working on. Now, I'll be the first to admit that doing bioidentical hormones, which is what he promotes primarily, is certainly safer than the other types of hormone therapies that are out there. But even the bioidenticals still have side effects. And so for people that are thinking of doing that, there's always other alternatives to approach before you turn to something like that. Okay? So then after we deal with the alternative naturopathic model, and that can include surgery, and there's nothing wrong with surgery. I mean, surgery has a place, as we'll talk about soon. Of course, then, you know, in the terms of this holistic approach, you know, you have chiropractors, you have herbalists, you have iridologists, you have homeopaths, various different types of skills. And many of those people are truly traditional naturopathically oriented, especially an herbalist. Not all herbalists, but many herbalists. Homeopaths tend to be rooted in traditional values of always working with diet and lifestyle along with using homeopathic treatments. It's the same with an herbalist. A good herbalist is always going to approach diet and lifestyle, you know, before they just simply say, all right, take this combination of herbs. Okay. So you really do have to be aware of who you're talking to when you go to a health professional. Now, of course, then the next big category, which we're all familiar with, is conventional medicine. Now, I will be the first to admit that there is one application that conventional medicine, especially in the United States, is excellent. In fact, second to none. And that is when it comes to emergency medical care. If you've been in an accident, if you've been burned, had broken bones, been shot by a gun, you know, cut by a knife, any type of procedure, any type of situation where the body has been damaged by some external source, then emergency medical care is excellent. I mean, to give you a good example, I'm sure all you're familiar with, since the news was, you know, was all over the news recently, is that after the massive shooting that took place in Colorado, there was a girl that actually was shot in the head. And because of a birth defect she had, the bullet actually ended up being lodged, I guess, near the back of her head. Now, very skilled neurosurgeons were able to remove that bullet, and she will probably end up with no loss of any function or memory because of the way it entered her skull, and also because of the specific birth defect that she had that allowed the bullet to pass through a canal that, you know, basically kept it away from gray matter, white matter, so on and so forth. So obviously, when you have a disaster like that, a disaster like we saw after 9/11, with all the amazing human injuries, it was just incredible the way that the emergency medical system operated. We actually knew of a woman that, instead of losing both legs, ended up having three operations because a particular orthopedic surgeon, you know, thought she was too young to lose her legs, and he was willing to do what he had to do. And she actually ended up dancing at her wedding. So that's, you know, that's powerful. And that's what modern medicine can do, and that's what it's good for. But when it comes to anything other than a condition that has been brought about from the outside, in other words, where we're talking about conditions that are chronic or degenerative, things like osteoporosis, things like diabetes, things like cancer, hypertension, heart disease, all these kinds of situations, even PMS, all these kinds of situations can be dealt with very effectively through lifestyle alterations in almost every case. Now, I'll be the first to admit, and Stephen Sinatra, who many of you know, is a world-class cardiologist. He's a medical doctor, and we're happy to say he's a friend of ours, and we've talked to him several times. He operates in Connecticut, and he's got a lot of books out. Some of you may have read him, Heart Disease and Heart Sense, Woman's Heart Sense. And he'll be the first to say that, you know, sometimes people need heroic attention. So in other words, they might need a drug to start with, you know, to help stabilize them, okay, if they've had a massive stroke or a massive heart attack. But he'll be the first to say that, you know, these people should not remain on any of these drugs, and they need to really look at what they did with their lifestyle that got them to this point. So that's really, that's very, very important, okay? So always know what you're taking. And realize that so many of these so-called diseases, I mean, obesity, I mean, they're trying to say obesity is, you know, is related to your family history. Now they want to have a type 3 diabetes that's related to Alzheimer's. Well, of course, if you're overweight and you've got your system not functioning properly, nothing's going to function properly. And it's certainly likely that you're going to, you know, run into loss of memory, dementia, Alzheimer's kind of symptoms quicker than if you didn't. So anyhow, all right, now, what I'd like to go over briefly here, because this is a question that people give, I mean, I've heard this many times. There are certain things that the medical profession, conventional medical profession, push a lot. And there is more and more evidence that these things, which I'm now going to mention, are really not necessary, and they should not be doing on a regular basis, okay? But they all make money. And a lot of these types of diagnostic tools are used by medical doctors frequently because they figure that this is a way to keep the patient coming back. In other words, if they say you don't really need to do this every year, then a lot of people aren't going to go have a physical, okay? Now, I'm not saying, you know, physicals can be good, but physicals are tricky because you have to really be clear about the fact that you're not going to take any of the information that they give you, because they're always going to put their spin on it, and they're going to tell you how they perceive the results to be, a problem or not a problem, okay? So that's very important, that this is why you always go away with the information. Do your own research, and I'm happy to help people, you know, if you have questions about information that you've gotten from doctors. I'm not a medical doctor, but I can still help you sort through the information, okay? So the first thing that is said to be way overused are the familiar pap smears. Now, the reason why it's not necessary to do it so often is it is designed to detect cervical cancer that is associated typically with HPV. Now, HPV is normally shared with improper sexual activity. Okay, so in other words, you know, they want to sell you the Gardasil, which of course is the vaccine, and so this is all just a big money maker, and there's very little evidence to show that doing this on a regular basis is that helpful, or you know, or a good idea. In fact, I know that my wife had one done many, many years ago, and she said it was actually quite painful, and she decided, you know, she's not going to ever do it again. Okay, that's when, you know, they were really pushing it. Now, the second thing that is highly promoted are mammograms. And I think that most people are aware that are listening to this call that mammograms are not the safest or the best thing. First of all, they put a mammogram puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the breast tissue. And number two, less than 10% of routine mammograms had anything to do with saving someone, okay? So it doesn't have a big following. And the other thing is that it's way overdiagnosed. And there are other ways to go about having things checked, like there's a heat type of therapy where the body, the tissue is not touched at all, but it just detects heat. And that is a much safer way to go about it. And, you know, without the side effects. Okay, so that's the number two. The third thing that many people go to the doctor for, which we really shouldn't in almost all cases, is for colds and flus. Now, the reason why you don't want to go to a doctor is that the number one thing they're going to do is prescribe antibiotics. And this is why inappropriate use of antibiotics has become so widespread. And of course, antibiotics do not work against viruses. Colds and flus are viruses, and an antibiotic does not do anything. The reason why doctors give people antibiotics for colds and flus is because they are going on the basis that you could have a secondary bacterial infection. Now, if you're saying, scratching your head and saying, does that make a lot of sense? It really doesn't. Okay? So, obviously, if you start to feel yourself coming down with a cold or flu, first thing is, really try and be as stressless as possible. In other words, to get some decent downtime where you still get a little exercise. I'm not saying you don't want to become a potato, you know, and sit on the couch all day. But you want to really watch your stress level, eliminate all sugars, artificial sweeteners, processed foods. And sugars is particularly damaging to the immune system. So you want to ramp up. You want the immune system to be ramped up, not suppressed. Okay, and this includes the ubiquitous fructose that you find in many processed fruit juices, even a lot of grains. So you want to address nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress issues. The moment you feel like you're getting a bug, okay, and plenty of high quality sleep is definitely crucial for the recovery. And you also want to make sure that your vitamin D levels are high. Now, if you're going to take a supplement of vitamin D, you want it to be D3. But frankly, here we are in the summertime, most people can easily get plenty of sunshine. Of course, you want to make sure that you want your skin to be as much exposed as possible. So if you can get it on your chest, your back, your legs, your arms, your face, and you want to make sure that for 36 hours after you've been exposed to the sun, you don't wash the sun-exposed skin with soap. You can still use water, and you can rinse off. Hello, I think I'm still back with you. I'm going to check, though.
Hey, Dr. Mike.
Hello, is everyone still here?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know why I got a busy signal, so hold on a second. Okay, it's a crazy technology. All of a sudden I got a busy signal, so I just dial right back. Okay, the number three things that is way, way overprescribed are cholesterol-lowering drugs. Most people are familiar with what's called statins. they're really nasty. You want to stay away from those. They have side effects that are just crazy. The next thing that is way, way overtreated is depression, antidepressive drugs. It's incredible what damage those can do, even causing suicides and all sorts of really strange human behavior. The next thing is high blood pressure. High blood pressure medicine ranks almost as high as statins, and it's not what you want to do. Now, if you have super high blood pressure, you got to get it down because you know you don't want to stroke out on yourself. But you need to work on a healthy nutrition plan that includes good salt, includes exercise, effective stress reduction, and most people, 99% of the people, can lower their blood pressure just by doing this. The next way, way overused test, which is a big bucks, is testing for prostate cancer, what's called the PSA test. And they actually reveal very little in terms of prostate cancer. And many experts agree that the PSA testing is highly unreliable at best and useless at worst. Okay, so once again, diet is a huge factor. Excuse me. The next thing that you have to be real careful about going to a doctor is often they will give you what's called inappropriate and unwise dietary advice. They'll tell people to use artificial sweeteners instead of sugar. Doctors will often tell people to use hydrogenated vegetable oils instead of butter or fat-free pasteurized dairy. It's all crazy. The human body knows what to do with real food. It does not know what to do with these chemicalized fake foods that are produced. Okay, so be real careful when a doctor starts giving you dietary advice. Most medical doctors have less than two classes of nutrition, and many colleges don't even require nutrition as a part of the curriculum. At least when I went, it wasn't. And then number nine, prescription drugs have the potential that they could even kill you and not even address the cause that you're taking them for. So this is very, very important to keep in mind when someone tells you to take a drug. Many drugs are nothing but Band-Aids that don't do anything to get to the root cause. And there's lots of information that you can derive online. Now, last but not least, and this is probably the biggest one that's unfortunate, is it's possible that your doctor may not even tell you the truth. A U.S. telephone survey found that 79% of Americans trust their doctor, but a recent survey of 1,900 physicians revealed that some are not always open or honest with their patients. So the results were, you know, less than impressive, you know, to put it mildly. Okay, one-third of physicians did not completely agree with disclosing serious medical errors to patients. My wife was a firsthand recipient of that after a surgery that she had to take out her ruptured appendix. One-fifth did not completely agree that physicians should never tell a patient something untrue. Amazingly, 40% believe that they should hide their financial relationships with drug and device companies to patients. And 10% said they had told patients something untrue in the previous year. Now, so when you're talking to a doctor, realize that they are trained for disease care, not health care. Big, big difference, okay? So I hope that all of you keep this in mind. It's very, very, very important. But like I said, if you don't remember anything else from this call, and I hope you'll share this with other people that you know talking about going to a doctor and that kind of thing, because this information is important and people need to be able to make good decisions that make sense to them. But like I said, if you don't remember anything else, remember these two points. Number one, don't ever think of yourself as a patient, only as a customer. Number two, no matter how much pressure a medical person gives you to make a decision. Do not ever make a decision if you feel stressed at all or anxious or worried. Only make a decision if you feel completely calm and centered. And if you can't feel that way in the doctor's office, you simply say, I will get back to you. No matter what they say to you, even if they say you could drop dead as you walk out the office, and you can say, well, if I do, then there won't be any problem and nothing to have to think about. So, you know, often you'll get someone to laugh at least. But those are the two most important things. And feel free, if you have any questions, you can always call me. I'm available, 800-962-5433. And you can also email me at askphpdoc@gmail.com. So as always, it has been an absolute pleasure to be with you. And I hope the entire call was recorded, even though I got interrupted and had to call back. But we'll find out. So take good care. God bless. And I'll look forward to being with you in 2 weeks. Bye for now.